This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Moncrief on News Talk.
This Saturday will be the 4th of July, American Independence Day, but also, as you probably know, the 250th anniversary of the founding of the US. Obviously, it's not in the best shape at the moment for a range of reasons you'll be familiar with. But if we leave all that aside, if we assume that the reign of the Orange Mad King will be temporary, what should we celebrate about America, or should we celebrate it at all? Henry McKean has been out garnering opinion. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Sean. And I do love America. I love the American dream. I love everything about America. I know what you're
well,
not supposed
everything.
To say that.
Yeah.
Well, nearly everything, everything. But not everything, everything.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
So my first time to America was the year 2000. So I was like in my early 20s and I felt so late getting there because back then, that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to go to the States. You wanted to have a piece of that American pie. And I did that J1 in San Francisco. I left within a few weeks. I headed to Hawaii, which is the 50th state. And since then, I've gone to New York a good few times, Vegas, Nashville, and LA. And I love LA. I know lots of people don't like LA, but I adore LA. I like the way it's spread out. I like the way it's everything and a bit of this and a bit of that. A bit like you could say Dublin, but even, you know, the weather
isn't
that, is good.
Isn't that LA doesn't really have a center though?
No, but, which I love.
Yeah.
I actually love the way it doesn't have a center because then I feel like I'm never missing out because it's just so spread out.
Yeah.
And there's always another party somewhere. But we asked these Irish people about their first visit and their memories of the States.
Where have you been to in the States?
I've been to New York once. My godfather lived in New York and I was in Yonkers.
And what was it like? What are your first memories of Yonkers when you first got to the States? What were you taken by?
It was really busy. It's like a different world, like comparing to here. And yeah, it was really cool. There was a real rush and everything. It was really nice. Really cold though.
Really
I remember
cold.
Crying when I was like about 9 or 10. I was crying because of the cold.
And being a basketball player, and you know, the Americans are the best
yeah.
at basketball.
I'd love to go to an NBA game someday.
You haven't been over yet?
No, unfortunately.
But you want to?
Yeah, I'd love to.
And where is home for you?
At Kerry.
So you're a Kerry
Lazelton,
girl.
Yeah, in between Ballybunion and Listowel.
And you're eating Marks and Spencer's
cookies.
Chocolate
yeah.
triple cookies. Very American.
Very American, yeah.
I remember going at 12 years old to New York with my family and being totally taken aback by how busy. Yeah, it was just very overwhelming at that age compared to here.
Do you remember the big cars, the big people, the big food, Walmart?
Yes, I remember absolutely ginormous portions, long limos and incredible crazy traffic and beeping.
Tell me the first time you went to the States.
When I was 21. So I went over for about 6 weeks over to LA, California, and then we flew over to New York.
What was it like?
LA was very interesting. I didn't really like it initially, but then we met a lovely guy that was living there, and he showed us kind of interesting parts of LA, which was really nice. But I think what struck me very much is just there's no real infrastructure for mental health. We met a lot of very unwell, unstable people, especially around Hollywood, West Hollywood. That was a bit of a scam because you see things portrayed to you on television.
So you got to see Skid Row and you got to see the fact that back then it was probably Vietnam vets struggling on the side of the road.
Oh, that actually really was very apparent as well, just how poorly the states looked after men who gave their lives to their country, and they were paralysed or had amputees, and they were scavenging around the, you know, bins and streets and that as well. I loved New York. I thought it was really cool. I did not like a lot of LA. Yeah, it was very, very, it's kind of sad as well, like you just meet a lot of people. We stayed in hostels and everyone was out there with this big dream to become famous and that, you know, that way. And we're thinking, well, not everyone will.
There you go. That's many people sharing the first time they arrived in the United States. And I suppose that is the thing. When you do arrive, it's kind of the way you imagine it was going to be. That's the way you see it depicted in movies that, oh, God, it is just like that. Certainly New York, I found, was like that first.
You feel like you're in a film. I actually felt like I was in Sesame Street because of the way they had these kind of fences. I can't describe
them. The picket fences, yes. Yeah.
And everything about it was just like the movies.
Yeah.
It was just the same. The massive roads, the massive cars.
Yeah.
The kind of dustiness to it.
Yeah.
And
well, that would be probably West Coast, the dustiness
well,
to it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's everything. There's
you forget how big a country it is.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the size of Europe.
And how different parts of it are.
Oh, very much so.
The first time I arrived in New York, would have been maybe the 90s, I'm not sure, but and Manhattan wasn't. Manhattan now is kind of quite bland,
yes.
And it has become kind of bland over the years. Whereas when I first arrived, there was still a tattiness.
There was an
edge,
yes.
And I stayed in the Gramercy Park Hotel, which is beside Gramercy Park, and it's been done up since and turned into kind
very
of a corporate box. But then it was kind of a bit more tatty, and in the bar. There was a guy, you know, in the corner playing the piano.
Oh, how romantic.
And there would be people sitting up at the bar by themselves drinking. And when I was in the bar and Shane McGowan was in the bar.
Wow.
And, you know.
So like a novel.
It was kind of like a novel. Yeah, it was like a Truman Capote book or something. You know, and so it was exactly the way.
You thought it should have been.
I thought it should be.
Yeah.
But then I remember years later being on the West Coast. And driving through, I think it was Washington State. And Washington State is outside of Seattle. It's massive, but there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And they really are, like, you'd stop into places and they'd go, are you from Australia? No, I'm from Ireland. Where's that? You know, it was literally that cliche.
So really isolated.
Really isolated. And stopped into a kind of a roadside. There was nowhere to eat for miles. And then we saw this cafe called A Slice of Heaven. So we went in there
a diner
and sat down. And it was called A Slice of Heaven because it was a Christian restaurant.
Oh, I love it.
And everything on the menu was kind of like, was called Jesus something or that kind of stuff. And you got a little homily from the waitress every time.
Place.
It was
I've got
nuts.
To visit that. Because I know, like now, In-N-Out Burger, sometimes there might be a Christian message on your burger wrapping or on your fries wrapping.
Oh, really?
Something, you know, a little Bible line. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And I can understand why the Americans believe in aliens. Like, I believe in aliens too. I still haven't come across one, but I get it because it's such a massive country.
Yeah, but they believe in American aliens.
They do.
They only believe that aliens have come to America.
Well, that's it.
And for some reason have an endless fascination with anally probing Americans.
They,
I don't know what that
do.
Says about them.
We don't know what the alien might look like. We have no idea. It might look like a bit of broccoli. It might not look like...
Absolutely.
You know, a slimy, grey kind of naked man.
Yes.
That's what they kind of look like.
Broccoli aliens. Yes. So you did get to talk to some Americans. Of course.
Yeah, so this is the thing, you know, the Declaration of Independence, 1776. Here is Robin Swan, an American journalist and author, and along with her husband, Anthony Summers, they were finalists for the Pulitzer Prize in history.
As an American who's lived most of her life abroad, I'm somewhat conflicted about the celebration of my country's 250th birthday. I think my feelings are a combination of love for my country and love for home, tinged with a real sadness and disappointment at the way it has failed itself and its people. I'm the most ordinary kind of American in that I'm a mishmash of countries and cultures from elsewhere. My earliest relations to live in the U.S. arrived in the 1600s. They arrived in 1639, along with those Scottish and English pilgrims who were looking to create the shining city on the hill. And my more recent Italian immigrant relations arrived at the turn of the 20th century as illegal migrants. Their papers read that they were not official documents because they were too poor to pay for them. And I wonder how the country I love would react to those people now. A family with tiny children arriving without correct paperwork. That same family who then went on to thrive and participate and go to war and, you know, contribute. It's not the place I'd want it to be if I had my dream choice of the future of the United States and where it could be now. But I retain a hopefulness that there are still enough thinking, striving, hoping, loving, breathing Americans to make it a better place, that the next 250 years can be better than the first.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
That was the journalist Robin Swan there. Fairly downbeat assessment of the state of the United States now. Though at the same time, Americans are tremendously optimistic.
Oh, they are.
Even despite the face of evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, they'll always look at the bright side. Yeah. And you remember, every 4 years they have a presidential election and then they start again. So, you know, we got to remember that American dream. And for me, what I love about the States is Tupac. I know I'm kind of going through a late 90s rap moment at the moment. Yeah. Jack in the Box, it's like this fast food restaurant on the West Coast. And obviously never got to meet Muhammad Ali, but saw him once at the Special Olympics opening ceremony in 2003. Met loads of Kennedys. Obviously, JFK was assassinated, Martin Luther King Jr. also. I love Hawaii. I absolutely love ice water poured from a jug in a restaurant in front of you. I know that sounds so unusual, but they put down a glass, sometimes a plastic cup, and they pour it with such panache and style.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, their breakfasts are great. Those kind of diners, which are, again, kind of dying out a bit in certain parts of the States, but those kind of diners are great.
And the hamburgers, the homemade hamburgers, and yes, their restaurants are very, very expensive right now. You could spend $30 before a tip on a burger and chips and a Coke in a diner, but they do the best breakfasts. And of course, the Big Mac, Jaws. I've got to mention Jaws. And my favorite TV program, that you know what it is, it's Baywatch. Here is Larry, an American, playing golf in Ireland.
What do you love about America?
It's full of Irishmen.
That's what you love about the States.
I went to the Epic Museum yesterday, and it was pretty interesting to learn about all the Irish influence in America. Not that I didn't know about that. I lived in Chicago in the Green River and on St. Patrick's Day. I think that Bono says it right about America. Like, there's a special level of hope in America that doesn't exist everywhere.
So there's still hope in America. There's still love, you feel.
Look at all the positive experience all the FIFA people had coming over for the World Cup from all over the world. And they were like, I can't believe that what we see in the press is like America's dead. And they come over here and they're like, it's everything. They got everything.
Stadiums are massive and beautiful.
Indeed. Indeed.
And you kept that quiet. You didn't shout about it.
Well, you don't watch American football, apparently.
I don't.
I'm not immune to the fact that we have issues to work through, but I think I'd rather be an American than anywhere else.
Issues to work through. That's one diplomatic way of putting it. One listener, Jim in Hoth, says trees. As far as I could see, I flew into Massachusetts when I was 23 with the image of New York in LA in my head. But all I could see were trees that went on forever. Could not understand why Americans think Ireland is green. New England is like the biggest forest I could ever imagine. And indeed, and over on the West Coast, you have these massive, you know, trees with kind of roads passing through them. Why do the people from the US always refer to themselves as Americans? Nobody on this continent refers to themselves as Europeans. I think that might be a rhetorical question. I remember meeting a woman from Oregon in Germany years ago. She couldn't understand why we in Europe didn't celebrate the 4th of July. She couldn't get over the fact that it means absolutely nothing to people on this continent. Some of them really think the world revolves around the US. Well, I suppose that's one thing about the US. They don't tend to know that much about the outside world, even if they travel to the outside world. Anyway, you of course, there are Americans living here among us, and you did speak to one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that, I mean, remember, they put a man on the moon. I know you're going to say perhaps they didn't, but they did. They did. They put a man on the moon. I'm not going to argue and like that. And we're not going to talk about their foreign policy right now. But we will speak to Leslie Shoemaker, counselling psychologist, lecturer in TU Dublin, and a proud American living in Ireland for over 3 decades. And she talks about going back 50 years ago when they celebrated their 200th anniversary and the nostalgia.
You know, it brings me back to when I was a kid in America, was celebrating its 200th year anniversary. The summer that I had with my family that year was just so much fun because there were festivals, there were reenactments of battles and places to see and things to do. And we just had so much fun. And, you know, I liked history even back then. So it was fun learning about different things, such as how George Washington, you know, had a number of interactions that involved my hometown in Pittsburgh. We even have a couple places named after him. So I enjoy that kind of thing. But, you know, it makes me also think about where are we right now and where is America going? And I think that's the million-dollar question everybody has on their lips at this point in time. It's so fraught. It's so difficult. But then when I was a kid, you know, we were going through the Vietnam War. So I'm sure there were parallels between then and now. I just was too young to really remember it. But I still think America has a lot of really good values underneath, you know, that underpin the country in terms of sending aid to countries like Venezuela, who are undergoing such horrible tragedies at this time, this moment. And it's a place of opportunity where people from all over the world are still seeking visas to go work there. I know so many people are heading there this summer because there are places they want to see because they've heard about it. And it's been great fun watching the reactions of people from all over the world going to America for the World Cup and seeing things like a school bus and how excited they were and how they kept saying it was like what they saw in the movies. So there's a lot of dreams and hopes that I think America still represents. But in terms of the cons, it just seems so fraught and fractured and so divided. And that's not the place that I grew up in. But then again, I was just a kid. I didn't have the knowledge and the insight and the experiences that I do now. But, you know, I hope that we find our way again. I hope that America finds things that starts to bring it back together into a more unified voice and that we go back to what we represented. You know, I think about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, you know, all these great presidents that we had in the past who espoused all these amazing values that the country is based on. And I hope we find our way back to those times. And bring it back to where it used to be.
That was Leslie Shoemaker. The Americans aren't too happy about things at the moment. One texter says, I remember my first time in Walmart. I couldn't get over the enormity of the shop, and not unkindly, but the enormity of the people as well. Movies and TV shows were always released in the US way before here. It's not the case now, of course, but they were way ahead. Well, that's because they were made there for the most part. The cars are always huge in the US. That is true. And that seems to be kind of a potent symbol to many Americans that you have to have a very big car. Someone did text in earlier on about why do Americans call themselves Americans when people from other countries on the American continent don't do that. And I suppose Canadians don't call themselves Americans.
No, and I actually bumped into a lady earlier and she actually had a maple leaf on her T-shirt and it said Canada. And I said to her, are you from America? And she said, no, I'm from Canada. but yeah, you're right. I mean, the Americans like to, you know, it's a very big continent and it's Canada as well. And perhaps you could say it's Mexico too. And it's also the Native Americans, or as they were once called, Indians. But yeah, we did speak to some Canadians.
Fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
A lot.
Every corner.
Yes.
Literally everywhere. And everything is very large. And like where we're from, things are spread out too. Mm-hmm. But over there, just everything's that much bigger. Anything that you order.
Everything's bigger in America.
Yeah, the food, like the portions of food that you order, even like a coffee.
True. So everything was bigger.
Yeah.
And you're saying fast food restaurants everywhere. Yeah. And Canada's not like that. You eat good
food. Not quite, no.
We used to have fast food restaurants.
But nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
The personality of the people was definitely different because we're very like, you know, you hear polite, thank you, please. And not that they were rude by any means, but I definitely noticed a different vibe.
So they were brasher.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like obnoxious is a good way to describe American people.
A long time ago now, it was probably in the 70s.
And what was it like? What was America like in the 70s? And whereabouts did you go?
It was Florida for a holiday. It was magical. I mean, growing up, you think America is the most wonderful place to go to, and it was. It was a great holiday.
So it was the American dream for you when you went?
Absolutely, yeah.
What did you get up to over there in Florida in the 70s?
Oh, seeing the sights. But the one thing I remember is I had never come across air conditioning before and didn't know why it was so terribly cold in the hotel room.
And then you figured it out?
Yes.
And you switched it off?
We worked it out and decided, and we knew we could adjust it, etc.
And then the humidity started?
Yes, yeah.
And of course now, especially given the last week we've had, people are begging for air conditioning in their homes. We are becoming way too Americanized, says one texter, with coffee shops, and we're overrun with fast food outlets and US brands. Bring back independent cafes and restaurants with some soul, says one texter. Somebody else says, I remember my aunt bringing his Hershey Kisses home from trips to the US. They seemed so exotic. Actually, the US chocolate is nowhere near as nice as ours, but it was exciting when I was 9, which is true.
That's true.
Yeah, their chocolate is very poor. It actually tastes a bit like eating vomit.
Yeah,
with
there
sugar.
You go. It is gack. We leave it on that upbeat note. Henry, thanks a million as ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.